What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Rooftop Sports Podcast. I am Eddie Zamitis alongside Mr. Chris Hand, as always. How are you, sir?
Hello, hello, hello. I am good.
Doing this on a Monday because we just had to talk about the two championship games yesterday, the conference championship games. What a day in the NFL.
Wild.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Just wild.
Where to start? I mean, there's so much that happened yesterday.
I
don't even know where to begin, but obviously you saw both games.
Yep. Yeah, we were texting back and forth, you know, in that final game.
And, of course, Brady pulls it out, as always, and we'll get into that again. But
you know what? I would like to say this, start off. It seems like there's a script. And the only reason why Tony Romo knows so much of what's going on is because he's actually doing a bad job at commentating and he's reading ahead of the script of what's going on because he was calling out everything. And I'm like, there's no freaking way. I mean, how does he not have a job then as a defensive coordinator if he can fucking call out what's going to happen right beforehand? It's a script.
Makes you wonder,
man,
how dumb these coordinators are.
It's gotta be. Tony Romo's doing it like moments ahead.
Like, he's gonna shift right and then run off tackle.
Or there's Gronk. He's gonna if the safety comes and bites. Oh, there goes Gronk. I'm like, are you kidding me? Edelman up the middle. It's just like, all right, this is either fixed and just Tony Romo's doing a horrible job at just reading ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just my one take right there.
Oh,
right,
he was unbelievable yesterday. And everyone's like, oh, man, he's going to be a head coach. And, you know, probably since he's calling the Super Bowl and he will have met with Sean McVay, he's going to be in the consideration now since everything Sean McVay touches turns to a head coach nowadays.
Pretty much.
But speaking of the Rams and Sean McVay and how they got there, man, I have never seen a call in my life that has literally altered history. It altered history. It changed who the team is that is going to the Super Bowl. I have been getting so much shit from Rams fans today that they're just saying, oh, well, the face mask on Jared Goff could have called the same thing. That was missed. Bullshit. All right, look. They call that face mask, which was barely even a face mask. The dude swiped and just happened to catch it. He didn't even grab it. He just swiped and kind of touched it. So yes, right. It is a flag. I will say that. But it's not something like if that is bang, bang, like that is something you could easily miss if you're out of position as an official. But even if you do get that, let's say you put the Rams at the 2-yard line, cause they get half the distance to the goal and boom, they score a touchdown. They go up 4. All right, cool. Now we got to get – since we're giving the Rams the penalty, we got to give the Saints the penalty too because we're evening it out just like it did. All right, now the Saints have first and goal at the 4-3-yard line, whatever the hell it was. And because we got to give the Rams a touchdown, we got to give the Saints a touchdown. And then what the hell happens? The Saints still win the game. No matter how you replay it, Saints are still going to win the game except for that blown missed call that literally changed history. They were going to just – take kneel downs. I did the math. It would happen at like 1:45 mark. So they get the ball on first down. Rams would have had one timeout left. You take a knee. All right. Comes down to 1:43. Rams call timeout. Now you take another knee, drain the clock down, goes to a minute. Then you take another knee, call timeout with 1 second left. It's like 25 seconds. We'll be generous and say 25. And then by the time they kick their ball off, Rams have 20 seconds left to drive and get into field goal range with absolutely no timeouts. So I don't know. That it's just unbelievable that the officials changed the course of history off of one call.
You want to know something that's actually kind of hilarious as we're speaking right now? I'm on Instagram and someone recreated the situation in Madden. And it is a penalty in the game of pass interference.
What did they do?
It's literally the scores aren't right or the time or anything. It's just the yardage and stuff. And he took the linebacker or whoever and did that exact same, like, hit him out of bounds, and it's just the game official knows it or calls it as.
Did you see the post game press conferences or hear about them?
Not all.
So
no.
Mikal Roby Coleman, he's the guy who was the one who tackled the guy from the Rams on that play. Dude even said in his post game presser, he was like, "I knew I was beat. All I did was just trying to go over there and tackle him so he didn't score a touchdown." And then he's like, "I heard the crowd. I looked up and I was like, oh man, there's going to be a flag." And then I get up and I say, "What? There's no flag. How is that not pass interference?" The dude even himself said, "How did he commit the pass interference?"
It's so
and then
ridiculous.
In Sean Payton's press conference, he says this like 5 minutes after the game that the head of officiating from New York called them and said, "Yeah, we blew that game. That was terrible. Not only was it a pass interference call, but it was helmet to helmet." Then you could probably also throw in defenseless receivers, so they technically missed three fouls on one play. Like, you had three different opportunities you could have called that, all resulting in a first down, all resulting in kneel downs and kicking a field goal.
But how can you just say, "Yeah, my bad"?
That's
no.
Like, it's like friendly fire. Like, it's, no, you can't change it. You can't go back and change, you know, somebody like history. You can't go back and – I'm not going to obviously compare it to, like, you know, military-friendly fire, but it's just like, yeah, you know, you're playing around, playing a game with, like, it's kids or something, and you accidentally, you know, break somebody's nose with a baseball bat or something. Yeah.
Right.
No. You can't go back and change it.
And it's just that is one ridiculous call. And I was like, I was talking to my dad on the drive back from work, and he's like, "Well, there were all calls going bad here and there and stuff like that." And I'm like, "Yeah," or like, they were calling that all game. I'm like, "All right, but you need to not. This is a very important game. Either you can't let it get that out of hand, and it needs to be called." It's just
okay. So my response to that is, because I've heard that argument all day.
Yeah,
we'll just use the Jared Goff face mask penalty as an example.
Right.
Let's say they do call that. Does that 100% guarantee that the Rams win that game? Okay.
No.
But this one here does. That's why it's such a big call, and it's so much different than all the other missed calls in the game. That literally guarantees that the Saints make it to the Super Bowl. And I'll admit I'm a little biased. I had a future on the Saints to win the Super Bowl. You know, I'm, you know, kind of a little bit of a, you know, Saints are probably my second favorite team other than outside of the Bills.
Well, you kind of married
exactly
into that
so
one.
And then I bet the game I was on the Saints, so it was all over. I was cheering for the Saints, but you just, I don't know.
No.
I try to not be a prisoner of the moment a lot of the times. I try to kind of stay in the middle on a lot of things and see both sides of things. But this one, I absolutely cannot. And I don't know if I'm just putting the blinders on here and being completely one-sided, but I don't know. Any argument that people give for the Rams making it to the Super Bowl, I just feel like it's tainted. It really is.
True. And it's not so much of the, like, "Oh, that's how they were calling it all game." I kind of don't care. It's like, cause I was an official for intramurals for basketball, and I would miss some calls here and there. But like, when the clock started getting closer to, you know, if it's a close game and you have to make an adjustment and like, "All right, I can't let this get out of hand. If it's a foul, it's a foul." You know, that's obviously a flag.
Right.
And just by the sheer like visual of like the bang bang, how was it not? I'm more susceptible. Like, it should have been like from the visual, like that should have been a flag immediately, even if it was like not deemed as a catchable ball.
Which, like, it obviously was.
Yeah. It was. But just from the pure optics alone, that should have been called a flag.
And there's been so many different angles that have come out on this from fans in the stands recording it with their phones. And these, the two officials on that sideline were in 100% perfect position to make that call. So I just have no idea how they missed it. There's no excuse. And what can you do to rectify it? I don't know. Do you have any suggestions as to what they could do other than, yeah, you know, like you said, my bad.
Get better officials, or you gotta like have more incentives or more better ways to make sure they get their call right. You can't make it a whole reviewal process. Maybe foul or all potential penalties can be reviewed with under 2 minutes left, kind of like it's a challenge.
But I hate that, but, though, 'cause I don't like stopping the game too much. But I also want to get the call right, because especially with today's technology and, you know, how many different camera angles we have in every game, you have to get the call right, or else there's going to be situations like this, whether it's, you know, the ball crossing the goal line on a touchdown at the last second of the game, or, you know, a buzzer beater in basketball, who knows what. You have to get the call right. So it's just so hard to kind of figure out that happy middle, because – slowing down the game too much is just going to turn people off. So you don't want to you don't want to go down that path and make everything reviewable, because then you also have to say, okay, holding happens on pretty much every play in the NFL, they say. So now I'm just going to save my penalty challenge till the last 2 minutes of the game when you score a touchdown, and then I'm just going to throw the flag and say, yeah, there was holding. Just look for any offensive lineman grabbing my guy's jersey. And then you just throw the flag. You play offensive line. How many times do you get away with a hold?
It's
exactly.
It's so up in the air, and it's so subjective to what is a hold. It needs to be inside here or there, and then it's like everything's a hold until you get like the defender gets past you. It's weird. It's just there's almost holding on
there
every play,
and so you can't. You open yourself up to so much criticism in all different ways, but at the same time, you can't let a situation like this happen where it literally punishes a team from going to the Super Bowl because of your mistake. So, I don't know, man. And I don't know if you read this or heard about this, but there's actually a rule in the rule book that this whole situation could go back and get replayed. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
So there is a rule. It is, I'm reading it right here. Roger Goodell has the authority to go back and replay this game or this situation pretty much. So I'm just going to say here. Okay. So Goodell could either tell the Rams sorry and send the Saints to the Super Bowl, or he could make them play the NFC Championship game again. Either situation falls deep in the realm of unlikely, but Rule 17, Section 2, Article 1. And it reads like this. The commissioner has the sole authority to investigate and take appropriate disciplinary and or corrective measures if any club action, non-participant interference, or calamity occurs in an NFL game which the commissioner deems so extraordinarily unfair or outside the accepted tactics encountered in professional football that such action has a major effect on the result of the game. Basically says, if something happened that was messed up to cause the game to have a different outcome than it should have, we can replay this thing.
I think purely on all of Goodell's like past decisions and past reviews and stuff, he can't take the risk.
Oh, hell no.
Like
it's never going to happen, but I'm just saying it's pretty creative pretty unique.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, definitely. It's very interesting. I can see that, like, if you know, like, a ref, like, blatantly, like, I don't know, said the call, like, it was a heads, but he said nope, that's tails. Like, you, Goodell could have the right to do that. But man, like, you said, like, he can basically tell the Rams, sorry, like, fuck you guys and give it to the Saints. That would be the biggest, like, in my opinion, abusive power of, for Goodell.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It, you would at least need them to, like, replay it.
Yeah, I and I think so, too. I mean, how crazy would it be if you could just have them replay, like, start from that play there and just replay the last 2 minutes? Like, oh, hey, yeah, I know you guys flew back to Los Angeles last night, but you got to fly back to New Orleans to put on your pads, get all taped up, get ready, go through your pregame routine just to play a minute and 45 seconds worth of football, where team's probably going to kneel down for three times and kick a field goal, and then you got to leave again.
Do you sell tickets? Do you sell tickets to that?
Bro, are you kidding me? The ratings would be out of this world. TV networks would be.
You sell tickets.
TV
yeah.
networks would be kicking off their most popular shows just to get. You just to get this to 2 minutes. Yeah, hell, you can make it a pay-per-view. And that thing will sell like crazy.
Because I'm thinking, like, there was a baseball game held in Camden Yards, I believe, during, like, the Baltimore
riots. Like, last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, or, like, oh, I think it's now pushing closer to three, but, yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. And it was just nuts that, like, I never seen a baseball game, like, play, like, the players were like.
It was in an empty stadium, right?
In an empty stadium. Yeah. Like.
That was really weird. I remember could, like, hear the crack of the bat. It was like, I remember growing up, sometimes I'd put on, like, ESPN Classic and see, like, home run derbies from, like, the 1930s or something. And that's all you would hear because the stands would be empty. You'd hear, like, the crack of the bat. Yeah. That's how it was in that game. Yeah, it was weird. But
should we move on to the other game or you have
on, let me see
have we covered all everything from the Saints Rams game?
I don't know. I guess I just want to know, what do you think the NFL can do to, one, rectify the situation for the Saints, and two, prevent this from happening again in the future?
I don't think there's nothing that the NFL could do right now to give it to help the Saints out at all. It's like, it's a my bad kind of situation thing. Like you said, you could get, like, have them play it out again. But I think at this point, nobody wants that. I mean, as much as the Saints want to go to the Super Bowl, I can't imagine them saying, fuck it. Just whatever kind of thing, and just like let's move on to next season. I don't know if they can do anything to help them, like a compensatory pick. Like, here's an extra pick. We fucked up, but I think in moving forward, they need to hold referees more accountable, like have a better accountability for these refs. You know, you got to get that call right.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do technology-wise unless everything is being reviewed. Unless if you take the refs completely off the field and just have the one head official there that gets fed the information from New York or somebody in a booth upstairs who can instantaneously have every single angle and see every single image.
I actually like your idea of the compensatory pick. I think that's actually kind of a good idea.
It would be. I mean, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Because they don't need. You don't need cash.
Right. Do you think. Let me ask you this. I saw this. It was a comment in a tweet I saw yesterday, but actually I was like, oh, that's actually not a bad idea. Do you think the NFL could be sued by Saints fans for pain and suffering?
Class action, right? Lawsuit? For pain and
suffering.
Tell
me you couldn't see that happening, though.
I can see that happening. There's class action lawsuits for everything. I can see the city of New Orleans do that. I can see some guy, the guy who freaking punched his TV or something because of the Saints loss. I think it was more. Yeah. He could sue for. Damn it. Well, I don't know if he could, but yeah, I could see a class. I can see it, but I don't see that coming from the city of New Orleans.
Right. And how could you, like, how the hell could you say, you know, oh, I'm a Saints fan. Like, me and you could go and just say, yeah, we're Saints fans. We want to join this class action lawsuit. Saints fans. So,
exactly.
I don't know. But do you, I could see it happening. I mean, we get all these class action lawsuits where, you know, people sue for coffee that they spilled on themselves and get money for being dumb.
I'm trying to think what sports town would most likely want to do a class action lawsuit. Because, like, I instantly went to Bills, but I feel like the Bill, they would have already done one by now.
For what?
So, a class action lawsuit to the NFL for pain and suffering. Like, I'm trying to think what sports town would most likely do that. And I'm, like, thinking maybe Philly?
Yeah, I could see Philly. Philly, Boston, but...
Boston, yeah. They
tend to get in that legal mumble jumble. So, I don't know. There's so many things, but...
It's just... I mean, just, again, like, to answer your question, there's not much you can do to, like, give back. It's kind of what happened, what's happened. Maybe a maybe a pick, maybe an extra home game. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks that you work. I mean, you go through mini camp, training camp, OTAs, preseason, 80-hour work weeks, meetings left and right. You just go through that grind for 8-9 months nonstop just to have it come down to one person blowing a call, preventing your chance to go to the Super Bowl. And it prevents – it hurts legacies, man. Like, Drew Brees and Sean Payton, they could – if they go to another Super Bowl and they win it, that completely changes your – I mean, you just doubled your Super Bowl wins. That changes the legacy. Now people are talking about Sean Payton. Oh, yeah, 4 out of the 5 years in Drew Brees' prime, they didn't even make the playoffs. Well, yeah, their defense was awful. So,
I mean, I can sit here and tell you that Eli Manning's a better quarterback than Drew Brees just purely on ring count.
Exactly.
And appearances.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. They just... they got really screwed. So,
oh yeah,
that sucks for the city of New Orleans and all their fans out there. It's a little bit of a crusher for sure. I get it. How would you have reacted if it was the Giants that happened to?
Oh, I would be livid. I don't want to say to the point like I'm punching my TV or holes in the wall. I can actually kind of tell you as a younger Giants fan. Back in, I want to say it was 2008, the year that we came off the Super Bowl win, we lost to Philly.
DeSean Jackson?
Like in the first, I don't think, I guess it wasn't that, but I can actually say that. Yeah, that really pissed me off too. But I remember crying after one playoff loss. It's just, I'm sitting there, I'm like, we were so good. We were this, we were that, and we just blew it. I mean, not so much it was because of the officiating, but yeah, no, I would be close to tears.
I would have been too. I would have gone through those five stages of
grief,
and they would have been up to like level 1,000, all of them. No, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't just be anger. I think I would be, I'd be pissed, wanting to throw something and probably run outside because I don't want to ruin anything in my house, where I'd probably run outside and like scream and punch something and want to break something. I don't know. I have a field next to my house, so I could just get out a golf ball and just yank it into the field with a golf club. Who knows what the hell I would have done, but.
You just start throwing your 9-iron out onto the fucking. I
don't need you anymore. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know how it would have reacted, but I could see then also, I could see just, you know, crying, like just getting a little emotional over it. And I give credit to my wife. She held there pretty strong there. and she was just kind of quietly depressed for the past 24 going on 27 hours now, or whatever it is. So
yeah, I was wondering how Gabby was taking it.
No, I didn't see any tears, so just a little bit of quietness, that's all.
Just quiet.
And a sick day called into work.
Oh, well, we're in Western. I don't know how in Western New York today. I didn't have off work. I had to struggle through the tundra and get there, and the roads were really bad. Are. I was just surprised. Yeah,
they were pretty bad. So, and it was cold today, man. It was like wind chill was like in the minus 10, 15. So,
yeah, it was bad. But yeah,
let's jump over to the next game now. We'll stop venting about that one. So,
I'll vent about this.
This one, yeah, I'll let you kick this one off, man, because Tom Brady does it again. The Patriots find a way to do it.
Fucking.
And, I don't know. Who does it?
Brady.
They dominated this game, the Patriots did. But the Chiefs still found a way to hang around. And I don't know. I just never felt like they were really in control of the game or had a chance to win it. Like, you could just tell. Everybody knew. 2 minutes left. Brady's going to drive down the score. The second that the Chiefs ran that ball in before a 2 minute warning, everybody, I just saw my Twitter feed just light up with too much time. I even tweeted it out myself.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knew. So.
You can't give him that much time. And, yeah, the Patriots came out running the ball all over the place, and I'm like, oh, this is not good. Because if the Chiefs can't stop the run, then they're going to be in a world of hurt. And I get credit to Patrick Mahomes because when the Patriots went up, I'm like, oh, shit, this is it. Like, Patrick Mahomes is not coming in, and they're not going to score a field goal or whatnot to tie it up. No, no way, no how. And he did it. But there was also a lot of points and times in the game where he didn't hit his targets. He sailed the ball kind of high. I don't know if it was any playoff, like, rookie kind of, like, nerves or whatnot. But he also made some fantastic plays, too, where he would roll out of the pocket and just put it perfectly where he needed to be. So, I mean, kudos.
Yeah, that game definitely was not his fault yesterday. I don't think he didn't play the greatest game ever, but he also did not play his worst game ever. And the defensive line for the Patriots surprisingly got a lot of pressure on him too, which
I mean,
they hadn't been able to create much pressure all year. So the fact that they did that yesterday was kind of surprising. And then just tip of the cap to the Patriots. Unfortunately, I mean, we both hate them. They're in my division. They made us my Buffalo Bills pretty much their dog for the past 17 years now, whatever it is. And another crazy thing is you and me have only seen four quarterbacks represent the AFC for pretty much over half of our lifetime. That's just a crazy stat. I think since 2003, whenever the year after the Bucs Super Bowl, when they won it with Warren Sapp, ever since then, it's been either Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, that 1 year where Joe Flacco was Jesus throwing the football. one of those four guys is representing the AFC. That is it. So
that is just
shocking. If you want a recipe for success in the AFC, you need to find yourself a Hall of Fame quarterback, because that's the only way you're getting to a Super Bowl.
Man, and give credit to Bill Belichick. He makes it work with people with the right mentality, and you hear people who always talk about it. It's a machine.
Yeah.
And the machine's got to have the cogs to make it go, and it works. And you have the driver of it, you know, the headpiece of Tom Brady, who helps it and makes it great. Yeah,
I just, Belichick, man, he just finds teams' weaknesses and exploits them, and he finds your strengths and takes them away. That's literally it. It's almost like so simplistic, but it's so effective at the same time. I don't know how he does it. over and over again all the time. It's impressive.
He was the Browns head, and he was a failure with the Browns.
And he had Nick Saban on the staff. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
The best coaches, probably the best coach in college football history and the best coach in NFL history on the same staff, and they still couldn't turn Cleveland around. That's how much of a dumpster fire that place is.
It's Cleveland.
Yeah. They managed to screw up LeBron, but, too. Story for another day.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, my problem is, I mean, there were points in times where the one thing that really bothered me was the roughing the passer call against Tom Brady. Because
the roughing, the tapping of the shoulder pad?
Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me with that? This is fucking professional football. And now I understand, like, there was, like, some things with, like, you can't land on the quarterback or whatnot. But for God fucking sakes, what is a guy supposed to do? How is that roughing the fucking passer? And I do believe that was a big, big moment because that was, like, third and long, or that was third down. And they got a first down out of it, and then they scored on that drive. I mean, you don't know how the game would change, but that's definitely a momentum changer. So it's just that really bothered me because and another moment when I think I texted you this about is like the whole Edelman thing where he went to go look like he picked it up, but he didn't. And it just like, I'm like, why the fuck does this always happen with the Patriots at some point in time? There's always something sketchy. There is always something that's weird and out of the ordinary, and it's always a controversy.
It is. They always.
Did he touch it? I don't know.
But to be honest, I don't think he did touch it.
I don't think so either. But like, why even bother go down and try and pick it up if you're not going to? If you're gonna kill it, I mean, it was just weird. And to be honest, you know, ball don't lie because it went through straight through his hands and then got picked off. So
yeah, man, I don't know. This is just it sucks because I hate the Patriots so much, but
you gotta respect it
a little bit. But at the same time, it just seems like they get so many breaks over and over again.
They do.
Like shit, D Ford, bro, you line up, you put your hand 6 inches back a little bit,
and you're good.
We're talking about a totally different team going to the Super Bowl. And that kind of brings me back to the Brady GOAT conversation. I mean, we talked about earlier this year on one of our other podcasts, but I mean, I'm kind of back. You got to admit, the guy is pretty much the greatest. Just because, like, I heard Ryan Clark talk about this today on the First Take, I think, where he said, I don't know, I don't think it was him on, it might have been Fox Sports. Anyway, basically, like, just saying how when he's called upon in those situations under 2 minutes, needing a score, just how many times over and over again, you know the dude's just going to pull it out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is just unbelievable, the fact that he can do that.
It was three third and longs that he was able to get that first down with Edelman and Gronk and I believe Hogan. Like,
yeah.
And it was quick. Like, it's amazing how he can go through the progressions like that. And give credit, you know, if you take good care of your body and if you're not an idiot and if you're healthy in a certain positional sport, you can play for a while. And I'm not going to go out here and accuse him of taking steroids or anything, but whatever his nutrition, whatever diet plan, whatever his exercise, you know, hell, maybe it's just that he stretches like 20 extra minutes a day. I mean, it's hilarious.
Kale smoothies or whatever he drinks.
Those kale smoothies. But yeah, but it's hilarious. Like Ichiro for the Mariners, or the reason why he said he was able to play so long is because in between at bats and stuff in right field, he's just out there stretching.
Yeah.
Like, he's just doing calisthenics and he's stretching and, you know, he's played easily into his 40s. It's just like
guys that take care of their body pays off.
Yeah. I mean, look what happened to Jamarcus Russell.
Dude slurps on the purple drink a little bit and then out of the league.
Yeah. And I hate to say it with Peyton Manning, you know, could he still be playing if he didn't have all those neck surgeries?
Probably. I mean, look at Drew Brees. Dude's 40 years old. He's still out there playing.
He's still out there. You know, it's that's unfortunate because that's not so much of him taking care of himself. It's more like the Colts didn't protect him well enough. And that's what scares me about Andrew Luck.
Right.
Because how can you do that to another franchise quarterback? Like, thank God he kind of came back again this year. But, like, if he didn't, and that shoulder was still fucked up, that the fact that he had to go overseas to do a surgery procedure to get it done.
Yeah. There's just...
It's just scary.
You never really think about it too much, but there's just so much luck involved in sports, especially when it comes to winning a championship and how your career plays out. Like you just said, the fact that Andrew Luck had to go to the Colts and was surrounded by such a bad supporting cast, such a bad offensive line, probably took like 3-4 years off of his career. And he's probably going to, I mean, he's still in his prime right now and he's still going to be great for the next couple of years, but he's probably not going to be able to play until he's 40 like Tom Brady. He's probably only going to play until he's 35, 36, and then he's going to have to stop. Or even if you wanted to, the body's just probably going to break down at that point, even if you wanted to go farther.
Definitely.
So, that right there is luck. The team that drafts you is, I mean, what if you go into, you know, a perfect example this year, Arizona. That dude, Steve Wilks, had no idea what the hell he was doing as a head coach. And yet you're stuck being drafted by that guy and having to overcome that. How many times do we see guys get drafted into Cleveland and just bomb out? So, I don't know. There's so many things that play into how your career plays out, especially at the wide receiver position, I think. Like, DeAndre Hopkins, to me, has always been the best wide receiver in the NFL, even the past couple of years, just because of what he's had to work with. Tom Savage, Brock Osweiler, Brian Hoyer. He's just had absolute garbage at the quarterback position, and he's still putting up crazy numbers. He still makes every catch.
Yeah.
And he just – that's why I think he's the best, because of what he's – the hand he's dealt and the fact that he's still able to put up numbers that he does. Not Antonio Brown, who's got Ben Roethlisberger and, you know, can catch 17 balls a game doing that in a great offense surrounded by great players all over the place.
Good head coach and stuff. Stable organization.
Exactly. Like, there was a four-game stretch where Antonio Brown didn't have Ben Roethlisberger throwing him the football because I think Ben got hurt a couple years ago. And for those four games, I think it was either Michael Vick or Landry Jones. Somebody was filling in for him. And his numbers were awful. I think he caught 22 passes in four games, which is very un-Antonio Brown-like. So in those four games. And then as soon as Ben Roethlisberger came back, the first game back, he caught 17 passes. So,
no,
it's just you're so reliant on so many different things playing out for you.
No, he definitely, and you see it also. Another example is Megatron. How much Calvin Johnson? He's not playing in football anymore.
Yeah, that's a great point. And then why do you think if he was playing for the Patriots his whole career, he wouldn't still be playing?
I think he'd still be playing.
Yeah. I mean, when you're stuck in Detroit constantly losing and locked into a 7-year deal, you probably want to get the hell out of there as soon as it's just no fun, probably.
No,
so,
definitely.
I mean, also at the same time, do you think you put Tom Brady on, I don't know, the Minnesota Vikings? Does he have the same career that he does in New England? Does he have 5 rings, 9 Super Bowl appearances?
I think no, because I think the biggest thing to the Patriots' success is getting that freaking first round bye.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. And I hate it because it's just the division that they're in, and it sucks because there's no one, they have no competition. I'm sorry, but I mean you would agree with it being as a Bills fan, but like there is no in this since 2000 who has given them the biggest biggest like fight in that division.
I think the Dolphins won it once, and maybe the Rex Ryan years with the AFC, the back-to-back AFC championship games.
Yeah, but it's just like, all right, so three?
Yeah, the Dolphins with Chad Pennington, but that's only because Brady was injured that year.
He was injured that year, right. And then
the 2 years with the Jets, when they didn't even win the division that those 2 years, Patriots still won it. They were wild cards and just happened to do well in the playoffs. Right.
So it's just, I think those were really two great defenses by the Jets too. But it's just, no, he wouldn't have the same success in Minnesota. I really believe it's just a perfect combination. The three perfect combinations. It's Tom Brady with Bill Belichick in a shitty division.
Yeah.
You get that first round bye and you're golden.
Yep. It is.
And some could say, you know, well, they got to win a lot. You know, they still could have played in the lower, you know, they had to win those to get the 1-2. I'm like, yeah, but fine.
When you're getting five wins a year from your division, right. You only got to go, what? It leaves you 11 games. You only got to go 500 the rest of the way, pretty much.
Exactly. And it's just. And then you play other, you know, team, and the AFC has never really been that strong.
No, like we said, there's only been four quarterbacks in the past 17 years that have made the Super Bowl.
Like I'm trying to think, like Pittsburgh, Colts,
Broncos.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like the past really good teams from there.
That's it. It's just, I don't think you can really. Yeah. Name anybody else.
Don't come out here with the Bengals. Don't come out here with maybe you can say the Chargers. They had
decent. I mean, when they had like LaDainian Tomlinson back in the prime,
yeah.
There was a couple years where they were really strong, like 13-3, 14-2. But I mean the Chargers are the Chargers, whether it's 2004 or it's 2019, they're still gonna choke in the playoffs. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a city, and it's a shitty conference.
It is. There's just dysfunction everywhere.
Yeah, it's the perfect combination, and the thing that's gonna piss me off the most is all the Boston fans. You hate us because you're not hate us, and I'm like, fuck you. Especially a millennial Boston fan is like they don't even understand when the Patriots before. This era.
No.
They don't even know like how bad they really are or were.
It's pre-Tom Brady. They don't. It's because all they've seen is him for 18 years out there.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, hell, I haven't.
Yeah, I can barely remember it. I mean, I remember a little bit of Bledsoe years, but Bledsoe and Brady is the only two quarterbacks I know was the Patriots. So.
So. It's... It's an interesting thing, and I really do feel bad for D. Ford. Not the one on the Chiefs, the one in the British woman in London who keeps getting death threats.
Yeah, don't threaten her on Twitter, Chiefs fans. She doesn't deserve that. She's just a nice lady.
Maybe she did some fucking shitty things in her past. Who knows?
Probably did.
I don't know.
So, but we talked about these two games. The officiating overall yesterday is the big story, and it sucks that it has to be that because they were good games, but ultimately I think there were some decisions by the officials, mostly in the first game, that impacted the outcome. Second one, I would say it didn't directly impact the outcome, but it certainly helped push it in one direction. And I guess really the only one you can think of is the rough in the passer one.
That's the only one that I really have a problem with. Like, I mean, D Ford was offside. Yep. That's fine.
So, I mean, that's just D Ford, you know, like you said, bro, you line up 6 inches back further, you're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Julian Edelman muff punt, I don't think it touched him. So I'm okay with that. The only thing I think you can make an argument for is, was it conclusive enough to overturn? Because the original call on the field was it was a fumble. So I don't know.
I think just it's a little. It was a little bit of. The Chiefs got the ball right back after with an interception, so I can't really be too mad about that. There were some questionables with the Chris Hogan catch, but they got it right with a Julian Edelman catch or another one back there again. So the only thing that bothers me is the roughing the passer. And in particular with that one, too, is because of how it is affecting Tom Brady, because it's just I don't know if it's just something from Goodell or saying quarterbacks are the most important thing. So if anyone touches them or if you think any caution of, hey, can't do that, then call a flag, then I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because you need – it's just – it's dumb. Can't breathe on them.
Yeah, it's bad sometimes. So, all right, so we touched on both these games. We'll go briefly in the Super Bowl. We'll talk more about it next week. But – yeah.
Oh, we can talk about the Drake curse and how
– yes.
He gave us all – You saw that on Instagram,
yeah,
right?
All four
he wore
teams.
A shirt. And what did we get? two overtime.
Four controversial teams that could have, all four teams could have easily lost. So, yeah, we get two overtimes and a whole bunch of controversy. Thanks, Drake.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Go back. But, yeah, is there anything else you want to get into? I just want to briefly mention
that. So, any early leans for you? We'll make our official picks next week, but any early leans for you on who you think is going to win the Super Bowl yet?
If that defense shows up for the Rams, then I think they could really do some damage. And I think if Gurley can also come back, then I think the Rams can run away with it. It will be interesting to see how Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald can those two alone affect Brady?
Yeah, or what can Belichick come up with something to kind of negate those two?
Yeah, because that's going to be interesting because they can. I think Darnold is a decent run stopper. I'm not entirely sure about Suh. I can't remember or if I got that backwards. But it will also be interesting to see how Talib and Marcus Peters works, because Marcus Peters and Talib did get burned a little bit in the past. But it's going to be interesting to see, because if you think about it, it is kind of like this team for the Rams. I don't want to say misfits, but I want to say outcasts.
Yeah,
like you have these boisterous, loud players with Suh, Peters, Talib. Against the corporate environment, like
uptight.
The corporate team of uptight,
professional,
like militaristic, almost.
Militaristic.
Like, yeah, I don't know. English is not my best, but like the order, like this is how the basically the machine, the robots.
Yeah,
like, we do this, blah blah blah. So it's going to be interesting to see. If you're a fan of the UFC and boxing, you know that you're going to hear some funny fucking shit from the Rams players. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I'm excited for some trash talk.
Yeah, man. It's going to be – I think it's going to be a pretty solid game, and I'm kind of with you. Right now, as much as I don't want – because I don't think they should be there, I kind of lean towards the Rams. And the reason is I want to just throw this stat out there. Since the Nevada Gaming Control began tracking the betting on the Super Bowl in 1991, the state's books, so all the casinos out there in Vegas, have come out ahead on 26 of the 28, the last 28 Super Bowls. Damn. They have won 26 of the last 28.
What are the ones that they got wrong?
I was going to ask you. Do you know can you guess those?
One has to be the 07
you
Giants.
You got it. That is one of them. Because everybody, they were such big underdogs, everybody was betting them on the money line, and it just paid out huge when they won.
And I would have to
say...
It's
an older one. This one's an older one. You're probably not going to guess it because it's probably one of the least memorable Super Bowls ever.
An older Super Bowl. Was it the Bears versus...
No.
Panthers one? No.
It's mid-90s.
Oh, mid-90s?
Probably right around when you were born.
93.
So I think this was 93 or 94. It was the Chargers and the 49ers, the one that Steve Young won, where he got that monkey off his back or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And I think that was another one where the 49ers were huge favorites, and I think they did cover the spread. So that one was another big win for the players because I think most people were betting the 49ers to just crush them, and they did. So, yeah, those were the two losses. So pretty much whoever Vegas needs, that's who you bet on. Don't follow the general public in this one. Right. So, and right now everybody is on the Patriots, but obviously that's going to change as we get closer to the game. So more money will come in, but yeah, the spread opened up at pick yesterday. So it was just basically pick the game. Now the Patriots have moved to 2.5 point favorites in there, which is a huge move. So a lot of people are betting the Patriots so far, and your bookies are going to need the whatchamacallits, the Rams. So early signs there, but
so who do you have then?
Right now I'm going to say Rams, but like I said, I might change it over the next week or so. Going to do a little more research on some things and all that stuff. So we'll see. And I expect you'll do the same, and then we'll come out with some picks next week. So
definitely.
Well, I appreciate you hopping on with me so we could vent about these two games yesterday, because I'm still a little bit ticked about them, but got the vent level down from like a level 75 down to like a 58. So that works out. So, nice early start to the week. And just want to say thank you to all of our listeners, because our numbers are continuing to
up?
Continuing to jump, my friend.
Hey!
They are jumping up there, so... More people listening.
Why are you guys listening to us?
Yeah, no, I don't know why people would want to listen to us, but yeah, we are getting some decent numbers out there, and
cool.
Maybe we'll start exploring bigger and better things, but not bad for our first year doing this for both the podcasts that we got, trying to put out as much content as possible. Social media, we're still trying to get with that. We haven't been the greatest on it, but.
Oh, God, I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
We need to hire some millennial.
Like us. To just do our social media accounts.
Yep.
Oh my, guess what? I'm on Twitter right now. And I'm watching.
Breaking news?
No. The Madden play.
The Madden?
Yes.
Yeah, the Madden
play. It just popped up on my Twitter feed.
It's fucking hilarious.
Wow. It is literally identical.
Yeah. Just on time and score, I think
it's
different.
But the play is... Absolutely,
exactly
the same one. Wow, that's so funny.
It's fucking hilarious, man.
I love it, man. Wow.
So yeah.
So did somebody actually play that, or is it something that the game, like Madden, created themselves?
No, so I think someone did that themselves, because you can see one them taking control of one of the Saints players.
Oh, okay. Yep, you're right. Wow, that's funny, but...
Yeah, no, that's...
I just saw it, so... Anyway, yes, thank you to everyone for listening. We always could use more download rates and subscribes on there, so we're trying to figure out more ways to get the podcast out there. Maybe we'll get to radio.com or iHeartRadio, all that stuff. That's the next moves.
Tell your friends.
Yeah, tell friends.
Tell your parents.
Everybody. So appreciate everybody listening to us.
Your teachers.
We'll be back next week for some more venting and some more fun stuff. Next week is Super Bowl week.
Oh, definitely.
We'll be previewing it. We'll talk a little bit about our Super Bowl traditions that we do, and then pick the game.
Preview the Pro Bowl, man. We got to recap the Pro Bowl.
That's this week, so.
That's true. Oh, yeah,
we got a big game coming up there.
Oh, dude, I can't. No, dude, that dodgeball tournament? Yeah. Oh, fucking fantastic. The drone drop?
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, be prepared for our breakdown of the drone drop and dodgeball game for this week.
I will.
And we'll probably also talk about some water polo as well. Who knows?
Oh, hell yes. Curling? Dude, it's curling season, man.
It is, so.
Kim.
All right. I will see you later, and thank you again for everybody listening. Yep. Peace.
Talk to you. See you.